I'm excited about sharing this series with you. It's a three-part series, Making Progress in Your Faith. And then we're probably going to go to 1 Peter. This is one of my favorite subjects. And I just want to tell you right at the beginning, the question I'm going to be asking you and the question I want you to ask yourself during this whole thing is, do I want this? Is this something I want? And of course, the right answer is yes, I do. But that's not enough. Do you want this? We all understand the idea of progress. You understand the idea of progress in your body. If you're sick and you're trying to get well, you can tell when you're making progress. If you're trying to lose weight, it's easy to tell if you're making progress. If you're young and you're trying to gain strength and muscle tone, progress is measurable. You understand about financial progress. Maybe more stability in your finances would be progress. Less debt or freedom from debt completely, more savings. It's clear what financial progress is. What about marital progress? Can you make progress in your marriage? Absolutely, and that's going to be part of this. In fact, if you're not making progress in your marriage, if you're just coasting, that means you're going downhill, right? It does. Don't settle for no progress in your marriage. There should be a better way of dealing with your differences. You should be getting better and better at that. That's progress. There should be more joy, more love. There's a real reality of progress in your marriage. You know what vocational progress is? Maybe getting a promotion or getting a raise or your company doing better because of the work you're doing. There's progress in there. And there's progress in relationships. You're better friends with somebody. There's more trust. You're getting along with better. There's progress in those relationships. And of course, what this is all about this morning and for the next 3 weeks is progress in your most important relationship, in your relationship with God. Now, we're going to show from Scripture, and really the point of today is just to show the reality of spiritual progress, of progress in your faith. Again, the question I want you to ask is, do I want this? Now, Jesus died for you to save you, but then he's going to transform you. He rescued you in order to remake you. And the moment you become a Christian, you are justified. You have justification. You're made legally right in God's eyes, which is huge. But then there's something else that comes after that, after justification. It's called sanctification. And that's becoming more and more like Jesus in your everyday life. And that is a process. It's taught throughout the New Testament. Let's look at some of the terms that the Bible uses for it. The Bible talks about maturity. You should be maturing. You should be making spiritual progress. The Bible talks about growth, another word for making progress. The Bible talks about transformation, and that's a great word for it. And finally, I've already mentioned it, the biggest word for it is sanctification. A beautiful, very, very loaded term. And I just want to take a survey this morning, just so you're convinced this is a thing, and it is for me. It's not for a few enthusiastic people, or it's not for people who have a lot of time. It's for everybody who names the name of Christ. And just say to yourself this morning, this spiritual progress stuff, it is for me. Say it in your heart. I know it is for me. Jesus, the Lord himself, talked about spiritual progress and making progress in your faith. What did he tell the disciples? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I'm going to change you. Follow me, and if you follow me, I'm going to take you from this to this. I'm going to make you something that you presently are not. And he did. And think about the way Jesus started. You know, the first invitation to Jesus that Jesus gave the disciples wasn't to follow me. The first thing Jesus told the disciples was a simple invitation to come and see. Come and see. And they did. He said, just come and watch, hang out with me, watch what I do, listen to what I say. And they did that. But you realize when he was finished with them, they all were willing to die for him. That's progress. That's maturity. That's sanctification. That is transformation. And that is Jesus' plan for you. He talked about making progress in your faith. Now, let's keep going. Paul said a lot about making progress. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom. Paul said many things about maturity and immaturity. I encourage you at another time to read Romans 14 and 15. It talks about those who are strong in the faith and those who are weak in the faith. In other words, those who are mature in the faith and those who are immature in the faith. Look what else he said. Brothers, don't be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. And I've got two grandsons, and I could just talk about them on and on, but I've been in a lot of churches where the preacher talks about his grandchildren. But anyway, two grandsons, one's 5 years old, one's 3 years old, and they are wonderful. But I don't want them in charge of anything. Don't put the 5-year-old and the 3-year-old in charge of the meals. It wouldn't be a good thing. Don't put them in charge of the money. Don't put them in charge. Don't put them in charge of anything. They are children. And Paul is very clear on the reality that there are adults who can think like children spiritually. And they are. And they're in our church. They're in every church. They haven't grown. They haven't made progress in their faith. They were born again. But there's very little transformation that's taking place with them. Brothers, don't be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking, be mature. We're going to continue with what Paul says. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Think about getting on an airplane. Basically, when you get on an airplane, you're wanting to be transported. And you're wanting the airline and that airplane to take you from point A to B, from point A to B, in reasonable comfort and safely, and preferably with all the doors staying on. That's all you want. On that airline trip, you don't want the airline asking you about your personal finances. Just get me there. You don't want them talking to you about your marriage or your other relationships, about your work. Just get me from point A to point B, safely and comfortably. And some people opt for first class because they want safely, comfortably, and I want to be pampered. But anyway, and that's a lot of people's view of Christianity. I just want to be taken to heaven. I just want to be transported from this earth, and when I die, I just want to go to heaven. But don't mess with anything else. I don't want to be bothered with anything else. I want to live my own life, and I just want to be comfortable and happy. And this spiritual progress stuff doesn't excite me and doesn't sound like something I want to do. The Bible is all about being transformed. And you should want that. Do you want that? Let's keep going with the Apostle Paul. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Just another way of saying it. Growing up into Him. Let's keep going with the Apostle Paul. One of my favorite verses. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. Why? For your progress and joy in the faith. Paul said, that's why I'm here. So you will make progress and have joy in your faith. And the two go hand in hand together. More progress equals more joy, regardless of the circumstances. He told Timothy, the guy he was mentoring, take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. So that you're what? There are two people are listening. That's not a good percentage. So that your progress will be evident to all. I'd propose to you this morning, your spiritual progress can be measured. It can be seen. It is evident to those people around you. It can be felt. Paul said, take pains with these things, and we're going to talk about them, so your progress can be seen. I'll give you a hint. If you're not being stretched, you're not making progress. We're starting the Wednesday morning men's Bible study this Wednesday. If you haven't signed up and you want to come, just show up Wednesday, 6:30 in the fellowship hall. We're going to be going through a book, and the book, any man that comes, it will stretch your mind. You want to make progress? You've got to be stretched. We're going to talk about how to make progress later on in the series, but that's a hint. And this book is going to stretch your mind because that's what it takes. Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them. And Peter talked much about progress. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. You say, well, isn't that just being saved? No. That's once you're saved, making progress in your salvation. Making progress in being saved. Not becoming more saved, but becoming more like a saved person is supposed to be. You see what's happening in that verse? It's an amazing thing. And we'll look at it in depth when we go to start studying 1 Peter. He's actually commanding us to want something. Can you do that? Can you command somebody to want something? Absolutely. You know, Christine can call me at the office and say, look, you be hungry tonight at supper time because I'm making a special meal. I mean, that's legit, right? Make sure you're hungry. Can I fulfill that command? Yeah, simply by not filling up on other things. That's the point. Like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. I'm going to ask the question again. Do you want to make spiritual progress? Do you want to make progress in your faith? And how badly do you want it? Peter continues, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. It's a command. It's imperative. You grow. And so if you aren't growing, if you aren't making progress, you are disobedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very serious thing. It's not just for a few people. Again, I'm just trying to show you the New Testament reality of it. We'll keep going. Look at the author of Hebrews. That didn't work. Okay. Solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Boy, that is a loaded verse. The solid food is for the mature. Wednesday morning, we're going for solid food. It's for the mature, or people who want to be mature. And it says, who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. And you say, well, preacher, we all get wiser as we get older. That's only partially true, isn't it? Because I've met some older people. I don't need to go there. But it's especially true in spiritual things. You absolutely don't make progress in your faith just by getting older. I meet adults who name the name of Christ, older adults, and you hear them talk about it and you realize they might be in their 70s, but they are spiritual babies. They aren't discerning good and evil. They're saying things that are contrary to Scripture, and yet they've been in the church for years and years and years. Solid food is for the mature. I want to say something about Sunday school. I advocate Sunday school for everybody. It is awesome. And it's basically got four purposes. One is Bible study, obviously, fellowship, doing life together, enjoying each other, hearing from each other, outreach, and caring for each other. Sunday school is a great thing. But typically, the Sunday school literature is meant to be an introduction to Christianity and an introduction to the gospel. And we can hear it over and over again, and that's good, and that's helpful, because it never gets old, and we're always learning new stuff. But it typically doesn't go into the deeper and deeper and deeper things, because it's meant to attract new people and people who don't know anything about Christianity. I don't want to settle just for those things. I want to learn more and more, and I want to go deeper and deeper, and I want to have more and more solid food. I would say to you, it's not enough. That's why I do things like I'm doing on Wednesday morning for the mind-stretching stuff. The Wednesday morning, we're going to be studying the Trinity. And you say, well, that's just for, you know, theologians. No, it's not. It makes a huge difference. The more you understand the Trinity. We're reading a book that it just describes it better than anything I've ever found. That's why I want to do it together. You know what? Look at John. We're still just doing the survey part. Look what John says. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Just as your soul prospers. Now, I'm not artistic. I can't give you a great picture of that. But isn't that a beautiful picture? A prospering soul? I tried to think of an analogy. I couldn't do it. I mean, you know what it means to prosper financially. You know what it means to prosper physically. Do you know what it means to have your soul prospering? I know it's a great thing. And I think if the person whose soul is prospering, I think that's the person who literally has everything. Think about it. That's the part that's going to last forever. That's the part that's never going to cease to exist. And that is available to me and every person here. We need to make sure our church has a process. An intentional process for helping people to go from where they are spiritually and make progress to where God wants them to be. If we don't have an intentional process to do that, we are not doing right by our members. Would you agree? This is huge. I'm going to make the point in a minute that it doesn't just happen. And I want to really draw this to a close by talking about some fundamental elements of making progress in your faith. Are you still with me? Have you decided yet if you want this? Okay, the question is, how much? All right, some of the fundamentals, or you could actually call this some of the misconceptions. Progress is commanded. It is not optional. A lot of people take the attitude, that's just for people. Maybe when they're retired, they can concentrate on spiritual things. Or that's just for a select few. This is really the people who believe that it's kind of optional. That's the transportation crowd. They just want a ticket to heaven. Just get me there and let me do my own thing while I'm here on earth. Not godly. Not biblical. This is a command. We cannot ignore it and be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is commanded. It's not just for a few Christians who are more enthusiastic or energetic or have less busy schedules. Most of the commands are in the, or most of the verses that talk about it are in the imperative. Grow. Grow up. Take pains with these things. It is a command. Progress is not automatic. If you compare it to a transmission, it's a manual. It doesn't just happen. Your physical progress, it just happens, right? If you're living, your body's going to be making, maybe not progress in the good sense, but stuff's going to be happening and changing. You get older, your body changes. That is automatic. Spiritual progress is not automatic. And that's why you've got people who've been Christians for decades, but spiritually, they are like my grandsons. What are some things I hear that indicate this, that indicate childlike thinking? I hear people talking about contemplating a sin, followers of Christ, and they're contemplating doing something that's clearly not God's will, but they say things like, but God would want me to be happy. Does God want us to be happy? Yes. God wants us to be filled with joy, with His joy, but not by sin. I hear people that you can see maturity in missions. You see people saying, well, look, all those people over there, they're just going to have to care for themselves. We got enough problems right here. Folks, that is an immature, biblically naive attitude. And yet I meet people who've been Christians for decades, but they think like children. You can be in a church. And folks, church attendance is huge. Regular church attendance, it's huge. It's incredibly important. Has all kinds of benefits, but it doesn't automatically translate into spiritual progress. So does spiritual progress depend on God? Yes. Does spiritual progress depend on you? Yes. Does spiritual progress depend on our church? Yes. All of those things, all of those ingredients have to be there. Made this point kind of already. I'm going to say it again. Progress is not age dependent. Look, Wednesday night, we started Wednesday night activities again. Last Wednesday night, we ordained Adam Conway to be a deacon. So it was a neat service, neat time in the life of our church. This Wednesday night, we're back to Bible study. We're going to be studying Ephesians 3. Very excited to share some things in there. But look, I'm going to tell you a story, true story, about an absolutely incredible teenager from this country, from this state. It is mind-blowing. You don't have to be old to be spiritually mature. Every person in this room can be growing in Christ. A lot of times we have this low expectations of young people and of our students. Man, they can know God and they can love God and they can serve God and they can be used by God. And boy, if we want to be a good church, we better have those expectations of our youth and our children. You think about children. You know how long it takes you to teach them to memorize a verse? It's like that. They've got minds like steel traps. And we ought to be taking advantage of that. Spiritual progress is not dependent on your age. Just because you're old doesn't mean you've got it. Just because you're young doesn't mean you can't have it. It's for everyone. And I want to tell you that story now, but then I wouldn't have one for Wednesday night, so. Finally, one more. Progress doesn't depend on your circumstances. It absolutely doesn't. You can have a prospering soul and be serving a lifetime sentence in jail. You can have a soul that's prospering and be in a very, very difficult marriage. You can be growing up. You can be taking in spiritual food and being mature in a dead-end job that you absolutely hate. Spiritual progress doesn't depend on your circumstances. It depends on God, it depends on your church, and it depends on you. Don't wait until this changes or that changes. Don't wait until this happens or that happens or this is taken care of. You can have that soul that's prospering even now. So the question, is there a hunger in your heart to grow? Of course, the right answer is yes. Will it translate into actually doing some things? Worst case scenario, this doesn't interest you. I don't have time. That's for somebody else. You're denying what the Bible says about you and your relationship to God. You know, it's 2024, still kind of new and fresh. Looking back at 2023, I get a magazine that looked back at all the news and the major events of 2023, and I was just amazed. Being reminded of everything that happened. I got something from Google the other day that reminded me of, it showed on a map everywhere I went this year. I thought, was that this year? Did I really go there? When was I there? But look back at 2023. Can you point to progress? Could your spouse point to progress? You can make progress in your faith even if your spouse is not a believer. Making progress in our faith is taught and commanded in the Scriptures. Let's talk about the starting point. There's before you know Christ. You know, some people, the first time they hear the gospel, the first time they hear that God loves them, but there's a problem of their sin that separates them from God, but they hear that Jesus died on the cross and took the penalty for our sin so we could be forgiven, and that it's a gift from God. The first time they hear the gospel, they're in, and they give their life to Christ. For other people, coming to Christ is a process. They hear, they're interested, and it's because God is calling them, and God's opening up their heart, and God's giving them the desire, but it takes time. But there has to be ultimately a point where you close with Jesus Christ. Some of you in here haven't closed with Jesus Christ. You're faithful to church. You're in. You believe Christianity is true. You believe the gospel is true. You believe Jesus is the risen Lord of the universe. But you haven't closed. You haven't submitted. You haven't said, yes, I want to belong to Him and serve Him the rest of my life, and received Him as your Lord and Savior. That's the starting point with Christ, with progressing in your faith. Let's stand together. And David Felty is going to close us in prayer. I would love to talk with you about your faith or about your relationship to this church. I'm going to stay up front after the service. And just anything on your mind, I'd love to hear it. I'd love to follow up with you. Don't settle. Don't settle for this not happening in your life, in your walk with the Lord. David, if you would close us.